This is the Four Quarters Podcast, your home court for college hoops and recruiting.
Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of the Four Quarters Podcast from the SNY Studios in New York. I'm Adam Zagoria from Zag's Blog, joined by my man Josh Newman, who's getting ready to hit the highway for some vacation. Josh, what do you got coming up?
Going to Seattle for a few days, going to LA for a few days after that. I'm very much looking forward to getting out of the tri-state area for
my man carried me during the draft week last week.
My back still kind of hurts.
His back hurts a little, so he's getting some much-deserved vacation time. All right, a quick programming note for you folks to check out the latest episode of the Knicks Blog Podcast. Anthony Donahue and Moke Hamilton react to the Derrick Rose trade, and Scoop Jackson of ESPN Chicago joins the show to give the Bulls perspective on the deal. Definitely look that one up. It's available with all of SNY.TV's original podcasts as part of the SNY.TV audio network, which you can find on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Here at the Four Quarters Podcast, Josh and I have a big show today, including Jay Wright, coach of the NCAA champion Villanova Wildcats. Josh and I will also break down the draft, especially the local angles. Then we're going to talk to Carl Arrigale. He's the head coach at Newman Goretti High School in Philadelphia, and then Josh and I will round it up with some recruiting and transfers. So let's get it started with the first quarter and Villanova coach Jay Wright. Coach, welcome to the show.
Good talking to you guys.
Hey, Jay, great having you. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes.
Glad to do it.
A lot of topics to cover with you, my friend. First off, I know you met with President Obama at the White House, you and the whole team. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. You know, what was the highlight of that, and what did the president have to say to you?
It was a great experience. First of all, something unique was, you know, our president, all our top administrators went with us, you know, so it's not often the team travels with them. So we had a great time. We all went to lunch together. Villanova alum had a restaurant down there we all went to. And then, of course, the president was awesome. You know, the part you see on TV, you know, it's kind of a press conference type situation.
Right.
But before that, he meets with all of the team in a different room, and he's so engaging. He knew all the guys' names, you know. He met each guy individually. You know, he called Chris Jenkins Big Shot. You know, as soon as he walked up to a chef, he said the chef. You know, and Archie. You know, he walked up to Archie. Hey, Archie. But spent time with every guy. I had my family there with me, and you know, I was just introduced them to my wife and my kids, and he's like, oh, this is the whole family? I said, yeah. He's like, oh, we got to take a family picture, you know, and the guy's, he's an amazing guy. He's definitely one of the most engaging and impressive people I've ever met.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's a great experience, Jay, that you and your family will never forget. You know, wanted to get your thoughts on the NBA draft. Coach, we just had that here in New York on Thursday. It finished up. Not too much surprise at the top. Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram go 1-2. What is your sense being there in Philadelphia, Jay, on the mood of the city about the Sixers taking Ben Simmons? You know, do they think the kind of tanking situation is over and that Ben can get him going on the right track? And are you going to take Ben out for – you got a cheesesteak spot for him or what?
Yeah. I think Brett Brown's going to have all that covered. He's what's interesting about – Brett, and you guys know Philly. It's a tough town, and I talked to Brett about this a lot, in that he is the most respected coach that has lost. Forget about how much, you know, that they've lost in tanking, but the way he's handled the team, the media, the situation has been incredible. He's really well respected here, and I think Ben's coming into a great situation because those two obviously know each other really well. And the city is really excited about Ben. The tanking is over. This is the first step. I think they're going to get a couple guys in free agency this year and start the climb. They've got a lot of future picks. They've got cap space. So everybody's really fired up. But I think Ben Simmons is probably – stepped into the best possible position that any top pick that's going to a poor team, right, or a losing team.
Right, right.
You know, I think when Kobe went to the Lakers, they were they were still pretty good. You know, I think even when Larry Bird went to the Celtics, they were still good. In terms of a guy coming into a last-place team, he's in the best situation because his relationship with Brett is really going to be powerful, and I think they're going to put some great people around him.
And, Jay, just to stay here with the draft, you coached for a number of years against Chris Dunn. He's a New England kid from Connecticut. A lot of people thought that he would go number three to the Celtics. They went in a different direction. My question is, how good do you think Dunn can be as a pro, and do you think maybe Boston regrets down the road not taking him?
Obviously, Boston had a plan. I think sometimes we all make too big – we put too much emphasis on the draft because I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, the Sixers, when they took Michael Carter-Williams, you know, they were in a process where they were going to bring him in. If he turned out to be the next Magic Johnson, they were going to keep him. If he didn't, they didn't care. They were going to create value and trade him, you know. But we didn't know that at the time. So you never know what the long-term plan is. But about Chris Dunn, I think he is as prepared to be the leader, the floor general of an NBA team as any college kid in a long time coming out. I'm thinking, shoot, man, I'm thinking Magic Johnson, you know. Because Magic was older, you know, when he came out of high school. And Chris is so mature. He was in both situations at Providence. When he was a sophomore, he distributed the ball a lot, made other people better. This year he had to score a lot, but he always picked his spots. One game, I'll never forget this, and I told a lot of NBA teams about this. We played them so many times, and this year we played them at the Wells Fargo Center, and we really decided in that game that we are just going to make other people beat us, and we're going to kind of challenge Chris Dunn's ego. And we're just not going to let him score. We're going to make other people beat us. And he made every perfect decision throughout the game. He only ended the game with 14 points or 13 points. He had 14 assists. And in overtime, hit the three to beat us. So his intelligence, his lack of ego, and obviously his skills offensively. He's the best defensive player in the league. I think he's the best defensive guard at any position coming out. I just think the world of this kid. I think he's going to have an incredible career. I think he'll be an all-star.
Just to stay here, you know, with the draft, you guys at Villanova, you guys won a national title in April without a single guy getting drafted, but two of your guys, Arch Diacono and Daniel Oshefu, are set with their summer league teams. How much interest was there in those two post-draft once it turned into – once it turned into a free agent situation for them?
Both of them had actually good interest in second round. You know, for instance, the Spurs didn't have a second round pick, so they were trying to get one to get Arch. The Wizards liked Daniel a lot, and they were, you know, thinking about using a pick on him, but didn't. And they were smart. You know, it's a business. As you look at it, they got the guys they wanted. And I think both of them are going to get two-year deals, so I don't know how much will be guaranteed, but you know, those two will be taken in terms of the confidence the teams have in their ability to develop within their programs, be a part of the organization, and be good contributors in any way they're asked. That's kind of unique, you know, for an NBA player, and I think that's the value both of those guys have.
When you look at the Big East in terms of the NBA draft, you had Dunn and Henry Ellenson go inside the first 20 picks. Isaiah Whitehead was chosen in the second round. Ben Bentel also. What does it say about this new era kind of Big East that you have two guys going early and four guys total, plus your two guys going to Summer League?
I think that was great for the league. You know, there's always a unique balance that, you know, you want to win the league, so you don't want anybody to be too good. but you want the league to be great, you know, and you root for everybody in the league. There's definitely a unique bond within the Big East that, and it's very, it really reminds me of the days when I was an assistant with Coach Massimino and Boeheim and Massimino and Carnesecca and John Thompson, those guys, PJ Carlissimo. They had a great relationship. They knew they needed each other. They knew they needed each other to be successful. But come game time, they want to kill each other. And we've got that same bond, you know, during the NCAA tournament. All of us, all the coaches, you know, we were all texting each other and really rooting for each other. You know, we want the league to be successful. We know we're an outlier. We're a basketball conference. We're something unique. We're not going to be carried by football, so we got to be strong. And same way goes for the draft. You know, I want Ryan and Daniel to be drafted, but right after them, you know, I was rooting for all those other guys. I was really psyched for Ben Bentel. I think who got Ben Bentel?
The Celtics, Jay.
I think they got a steal.
So do
I'm
I.
telling you. I think that kid, you look at every year he played, he shocked me every year in terms of how, including his, he dropped 20 on us, I think, his freshman year. I just think I didn't think he'd be capable of that as a freshman, you know. And every year he just got better and better significantly. So I think he's going to continue. I think his ability to shoot the ball is going to be is really going to be valuable in the NBA. And Isaiah Whitehead, I also think, is a really intelligent draft pick because I'm sure these guys, I know these guys, they vet this, they all investigate this, but one of the things that amazed me about him is I never saw him lose his cool with his teammates, with any situation on the court. He has a great demeanor. He doesn't play like a point guard right now, but I think he's got the mentality, he's definitely got the unselfishness to develop into a great NBA point guard. And a point guard in the NBA is different than a point guard in college. I think he's actually made to be a great NBA point guard. And he's got the body and the skill. I think he's going to be very successful.
Hey, Jay, it's Adam again. You know, I was at the Combine in Chicago there, and I interviewed, you know, I spoke to Josh Hart, and he said, you know, that at that time he was part of his motivation for possibly coming back to Villanova was the thought of trying to contend for another championship, back-to-back championships. You know, you have to be pleased you're getting Josh Hart and Chris Jenkins back. Obviously, you lose Daniel and Ryan, but you add a bunch of guys, including Omari Spellman. How strong can this team be? And, you know, do you find yourself thinking about possibility of making another Final Four with this team?
Well, it's interesting how the times change, Adam. You know, Dylan Painter and Omari Spellman are great recruits coming in here for us. But as you go through this process in the spring, getting Chris Jenkins and Josh Hart back, they're our top recruits.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting fifth-year guys, you know, even
right.
better because they know the system. But when they're going through the process, and it's really interesting that you asked him that, Josh, about returning for a championship. I told both of them, and we all did during the process, don't think like a Villanova basketball player. Think like a businessman. You got to make a smart business decision here. We'll be fine without you. Don't think about you owe it to anybody here to come back and repeat. You won a championship. You've done everything we've asked of you here. Just go through this process, see what's best for you. Then if you come back, then we'll talk about that, you know? And I thought both of them were really intelligent in how they handled it. I think Chris saw early that he probably would have been a second-round pick at best. And physically, he had done so much through the year to keep himself in shape. I think he wanted a little time off, which I agreed on. Josh went all the way through. You know, after playing the national championship game, he got no time off. He had to go right to work
right.
to be in shape for the combine and work out. He went to workouts actually before the combine. So I saw that he would probably be an early second-round pick. A lot of teams told him, you know, they would take him there. But he decided he wanted to give himself a chance to be a first-round pick and wanted to get his degree. And so then once he decided that, then we start talking about, okay, Now we got a hell of a team coming back. Now let's talk about you being a leader on this team. So we're not going to approach it that we're trying to repeat or anything like that. We're trying to approach it that, okay, we got this new team. We don't have Ryan. We don't have Daniel. Everybody's a year older. Everybody's in a new spot. We add two new guys. Let's see what's the best this team can be, and we'll accept whatever those results are.
Yeah, well, I imagine you'll be a top five preseason team, and I think everybody thinks you have the potential to make another Final Four. All right, now I got one final question, Jay. This is the most important question of the day. You ready?
Yeah, man.
You ready for me?
Okay. I know it's coming.
My over 40 New York Ultimate team.
I knew it was coming.
Qualified for the national championships on Saturday in Massachusetts. I played 5 games out there in the sun. My back felt good. My calf felt good. I played well. Our team is going to nationals in Colorado early August. Now, we got a lot of handlers and a lot of throwers, but we need a couple receivers, a couple guys who can go deep and catch the disc and catch some bombs. And I want to know if you're available for a free agent contract that weekend.
First of all, congratulations. That's big time. That is very cool. Second of all, when you said about playing 5 games this weekend, I don't think my back or knees would be feeling good. And that might be more of a congratulations than getting to the the Nationals. The fact that you can get through that and feel good. Third of all, what I've learned through, you know, we've never won a national championship before that I've been here. I was here with Coach Mass, watched what they went through, but I wasn't a part of the staff. I've only been on the beach one day, AZ. One day. It's killing me. My family was down there this weekend. I didn't get to go. They all played. They're telling me about how much fun they had. I got 4th of July weekend. I'll see how my game is without any work, and I'll report after 4th of July weekend.
All right, that sounds good. We're going to set you up for a little combine tryout in Ocean City. We're going to test your disc skills. We're going to see if you can catch it and throw it, and then we're going to possibly tender you a contract.
If my son Taylor was over 40, but he's 6'5", he kills in it. He's all over the place. I always try to get him on my team. Just throw it up to him. He goes, gets it.
All right, maybe we can get you guys in a package deal. All right, listen, Jay, always great talking to you, and we'll see you out at the Peach Jam.
All right, Josh, Adam, good to talk to you guys.
Josh, it sounds like I got a good chance of getting Jay on my Nationals, on my Frisbee team for Nationals, so we'll have to work on that. But more importantly, you know, the big picture, I think, is just Villanova is just reloaded again for next year. You get Josh Hart and Chris Dunn back, Chris Jenkins back. That's, like you said, 2 really experienced guys. Plus, they're going to add Omari Spellman, Dante DiVincenzo, and some other guys.
In the past, I think the perception of Jay Wright's teams have been that they can't get over the hump and they can't get past the first weekend of the tournament. But now that perception is changing because they won the national title. Several of the key pieces, including Josh Hart and Chris Jenkins, are coming back, and now there's this belief that they can do it again. I just find it interesting how that perception has, you know, radically changed.
All right, let's move on now to the second quarter. Josh and I are going to talk a little NBA draft action. You know, you and I were sitting there, Josh, at Barclays Center Thursday night. I don't think there's any debate. Biggest surprise to you, to me, Thon Maker going number 10 to the Milwaukee Bucks, and this had happened right after this news cycle on Twitter that there was some question about his age. His agents told me they were unhappy about that. There was speculation that he was as old as 22 or 23. Right. His agent says he's 19. At any rate, he goes at number 10. How stunned were you by that?
I was stunned. I mean, you know, after all the age stuff was going on earlier in the day Thursday, I think it was Chad Ford, maybe 45 minutes before the draft, changed his mock draft, having Maker at 10, and we were all taken aback by that. And lo and behold, Adam Silver comes up, number 10 pick, Thon Maker. He comes out of the stands. And I thought the most interesting thing he said was as he was making his way out of the stands through the green room area onto the stage, he said that some of the kids who were in the green room area were giving him sideways looks because he was being drafted before them.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. I mean, he's a really talented kid. You know, the question is what position is he and what position does he guard
That's
in the
problem.
NBA? And
yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. You know, as expected, Ben Simmons, number 1 to the Sixers, Brandon Ingram, number 2 to the Lakers. That was, you know, foregone conclusion for a couple of weeks now. Unfortunately, there was some tragic news for Simmons. His cousin died in a hit and run in the area. I believe it was a day or two after the draft. So, you know, a lot of stuff happening the last few days around Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that's a tragic situation. We also have, we should mention, DeAndre Bembry's brother passed away. He's a New Jersey kid. That happened just before the draft. So a couple of tragic incidents there. You know, as Jay Wright said, you know, I think Ben Simmons grew up as a Lakers fan, but it is what it is. He's with the Sixers, and Kevin Boyle told me the Sixers had spoken to him about Ben possibly playing the point or the four, so they're definitely going to use him as a point forward type, but they have to improve their backcourt, as Brett Brown said.
Yeah, I mean, they still need a point guard. They still need a couple of pieces. You don't know if you're going to get anything out of Joel Embiid, so there's definitely still some question marks surrounding the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, do we think the Sixers can turn it around? You know, I think they should be better. They claim they're done tanking, and I think you're going to see the other shoe drop on a trade of Nerlens or Jahlil Okafor.
I agree. Again, they're still in need of pieces, but I think the tanking is over. I think they've kind of turned the corner where under the Colangelos, they can now, you know, be in the business of trying to win and trying to lure free agents and trying to put some of these young pieces together, where in the immediate, at least you can be competitive and you're not just, you know, a doormat. So I guess we'll see what happens there next season. Bunch of New Jersey guys were in this draft. You and I wrote a couple of stories. So you had Wade Baldwin from St. Joe's, Malachi Richardson from Roseville Catholic and Trenton Catholic, and DeAndre Bembry from St. Pat's, all going in the top 22 picks. The one notable absence from the Jersey contingent was Isaiah Briscoe, who opted for at least another year in Kentucky. At all surprised that these three guys went so high?
Well, I thought you wrote a good story there about Briscoe. I mean, look, if you flash back, you know, a year or two, Isaiah was projected as a one and done.
No doubt.
He was projected as a lottery pick at one point. And, you know, that's why you play the games, as they say. He just wasn't ready. He went through six workouts with NBA teams. They told him he had to work on his shooting. He knows that. And now he's going to go back to Kentucky and play with, you know, Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox.
I mean, look, 3 years ago, you and I sitting at the Tournament of Champions final, if you had told me that Wade Baldwin and Malachi Richardson would be in the NBA already, but Isaiah Briscoe and especially Tyler Roberson were not in the NBA, I would have thought you were crazy, but that's just what happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. And look, it speaks well, as I wrote in a couple stories, that we got three guys out of Jersey taken in the top 22 picks. You know, and they all seem to be rooting for each other, Wade and DeAndre and Malachi. So, you know, you add in Kyrie and Karl Towns, and it just speaks, and Michael Gilchrist, to just the talent that's been coming out of Jersey.
And those are all Jersey-bred kids, not just going to high school in Jersey.
Exactly. The other local story, obviously, is our man Isaiah Whitehead out of Brooklyn Lincoln High School in Seton Hall. Goes number 42 to the Nets. Just got a press release from the Nets that his press conference will be at 2 o'clock tomorrow, Tuesday, in Brooklyn. So, you know, look, the Nets are going to be bad. They're going to lose a lot of games. They might be the worst team in the league. And they're already kind of making Isaiah Whitehead a little bit of the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, why not? He's a Brooklyn kid. He's been, you know, quote, the guy in Brooklyn since he was, you know, a high school freshman, going back to when he's 14, 15 years old. It's really kind of crazy how that all went down. Like, we're watching the second round unfold. It looked like the 38th pick to the Bucks would be a good spot for him. It didn't happen. Then all of a sudden, news breaks that the Nets trade up 13 picks from 55 to 42. They end up drafting Whitehead. And just the way that the Nets roster is constructed right now, you know, the free agents that are leaving, you just look at their point guard situation, and it seems to me and several other people that he would be just a stone-cold lock to make the opening night roster. So good for him. You know, he wasn't a first-round pick. There's certainly some uncertainty as a second-round pick, but good for him. You know, he took a shot, he left school, and hopefully it works out for him.
Yeah, I mean, as Jeff Goodman's been saying all week, the Celtics really stand to benefit more than anyone else next year from the Nets' struggles. And, you know, I mean, that's just hard to see the Nets winning a lot of games.
Yeah. Local guys, you know, one of the more interesting parts of the draft is once the draft is over, then you get into the undrafted free agent stuff and seeing who's going where. So you've got Iona's A.J. English going to summer league with the Warriors. Three-time America East Player of the Year, Jameel Warney from Stony Brook, going with the Mavericks, Adam?
Yep.
Mavericks. And then you have Sterling Gibbs from Seton Hall and UConn, played his high school ball at Seton Hall Prep, going to the Washington Wizards for summer league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those are three guys that you and I have covered a lot. We like them. They're all great kids. And, you know, you want to see them get a chance, and now they get their chance in summer league. And, you know, A.J. English especially is a little older. He's going to be 24, but, you know, I hope he gets a shot. Jameel Warney played great against Kentucky in the tournament. Another nice kid, a Steve Peichel kid. And Sterling Gibbs, you know, who can say anything bad about the Gibbs kids? It's a great family. He had two workouts with the Wizards, and now he'll get a shot in Summer League.
English especially kind of parlayed his appearance at Adidas Nations and a strong college season. He was MVP at Portsmouth, so I think him especially really parlayed his opportunities into another opportunity with the Warriors.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch them this summer. Yeah. All right, we're going to move on now to the third quarter, and we are going to talk to our friend Carl Aragale. He's the head coach at Newman Goretti High School in Philadelphia. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad to be part of it.
Hey, thanks for giving us a few minutes. We got a big Philly theme on the show today, Coach, because we had Jay Wright up on top. Let's talk about Quade Green. He's your 2017 point guard. He's had a big couple of weeks and months here. He visited Duke, got an offer from Coach K on his visit, and now he's set to go to Kentucky later this week. What does it mean that he gets this Duke offer, and what did he say about the trip?
Well, for him, it's good because he works extremely hard, and Duke was a school he always talked about. So he always talked about some of these places that are showing the interest now. So it's just a testament to how hard he's worked, you know, and how much his game has grown, you know, over the years here with us. I mean, he came in really as a scoring guard, and he's turned himself into a scoring point guard. I mean, he's pretty good at it. So, I mean, he's enjoying it. I mean, he's keeping focused, though, and he's trying to, you know, just continue to improve, and he's kind of taking it in stride, which is kind of nice to see.
Did he say anything specific about the Duke visit, Carl, that you took note of?
You don't get a lot out of him. I mean, it was good. You know, he's one of those guys. It was good. It was nice. I mean, he enjoyed playing with the guys. That's one thing I did, like, when I asked him about that, he kind of perked up a little bit. He said it was fun playing with the guys and, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, what is there not to like about Duke and their program and, you know, getting a chance to sit in Coach K's office and, you know, and talk hoops. So, you know, I could tell he liked it, but he's not one of those guys. Yeah. He's really super competitive and he talks a lot maybe on the court, but, he's tough to get out of sometimes.
Yeah, he's a soft-spoken kid, that's for sure. And just with Kentucky, Carl, I guess he goes there on Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday. He'll be there Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, and do you anticipate that Kentucky may offer him while he's there? And, you know, obviously Kentucky produce a lot of one-and-dones. What are his thoughts on going to visit?
As a matter of fact, I just talked to Coach Barbee today. I'm supposed to talk to Cal. It seems to be moving in that direction. I mean, nothing's official yet. I think once they get him in the office and find out, you know, what his thinking is and what they're looking at. I mean, I know that they do feel like their backcourt this year is going to be talented enough to all maybe possibly be gone next year. So they're looking for players I know that are good enough in this class that can come in and play. They see him as like a Tyler Ulis, maybe with a couple more inches, which is probably a pretty good comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the guts of a burglar. He plays really hard. He's not afraid of anything or any moment. And, we watched Kentucky teams over the years when Tyler was on it. I mean, he's the little guy out there, but seemed to make the biggest shots for them. So, I mean, they see him being a guy that maybe can play that similar role for them, you know, in the next couple of years.
And, Carl, just to change topics on you here, another one of your kids, Demir Cosby Rountree, big, you know, 6'9", 6'10 kid. He's going to be a senior in the fall, committed to Villanova, so he's staying close to home, obviously. What does he bring to Villanova, in your opinion?
He was like built for Villanova. I mean, he was birthed for Villanova. He is everything that Villanova stands for. He's the kind of guys that go there and do really well. He's a typical, like a Dante Cunningham type of guy playing in the league now. He's just that type of guy. He improves over and over and all the time, always getting better. And, you know, he's a selfless guy. I mean, he fits the Villanova culture now, and he hasn't even spent a day there yet. So, they're really excited, you know, about him and as they should be.
Obviously, Carl, the Sixers are in the news right now just having drafted Ben Simmons. It seems like they're trying to move away from all of the tanking, turning a corner, trying to, get some of these young guys going, using some of their cap space to maybe bring in some free agents. What is the feeling in the high school community in Philly among the coaches about the Sixers?
Well, I'm a fan still because I was born and raised here. The kids go along with who's better. I mean, we hear the LeBron, and hopefully this will get the Sixers back talking about the kids talking about the Sixers again, hopefully what's going on. Because, all you hear is the LeBron, Steph, Westbrook arguments in the locker room to nausea. where you want to get out of there and beat your head off the wall. You know, nobody talks about the Sixers. So hopefully, you know, with Simmons coming on, and maybe they can make a couple things in the next couple of years, we'll at least be talking about the Sixers in our locker rooms instead of who's better, Steph or LeBron or, you know, Westbrook or Harden. And, you know, and then, you know, maybe it'll be Simmons and a couple of Sixers guys might get thrown in there now.
All right, Carl, listen, we appreciate your time, and we'll stay in touch with you going forward this summer, okay?
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
All right, best of luck. Take care.
No problem.
Big week for Quade Green there, Josh. He goes to Duke, gets the Duke offer. Now he's going to go to Kentucky. It sounds like he might get the Kentucky offer there. He's part of this loaded PSA Cardinals team with Muhammad Bamba, Brandon Randolph, Cole Anthony. So, you know, tons of coaches are going to be watching them in July.
Look, you see these kids more than I do. When I went with you to the EYBL stop in Brooklyn back in April, Quade Green was one of the three or four best kids I saw over that entire day. So, I mean, there's something right there.
All right, we're going to move on now to the fourth quarter. Josh, I'm going to wrap it up talking a little recruiting and transfers.
I'll get it started, Adam. I know one of your favorite events, something you look forward to, Peach Jam is coming up beginning July 6th. You've got the PSA Cardinals going down there. That team is loaded. The Wrens also loaded. Just what are you looking forward to most down there?
Well, it's always a great event. You know, it's four gyms in one spot. You get the peaches. You hang out with Tom Kachowski and everybody down there. And
wearing the flip-flops down there,
wearing the flip-flops. You know, you're hanging out with Orlando Early and some of my guys. But, you know, it's always good when New York and New Jersey teams have a chance to compete. A couple of years ago, the Players won the tournament with Isaiah Briscoe leading the way before he went to Kentucky. And now you have the PSA Cardinals, the New York Wrens, and the Players back there. And the Cardinals go in. I believe they have a 14-2 record. Muhammad Bamba was out for a while with an ankle injury, but was back training, it sounds like. So, you know, they're going to be like the Beatles down there. There's going to be Coach K and the Duke guys and tons of coaches watching that team because they're just so loaded. The Wrens will also have a bunch of coaches because they have Hamidou Diallo and Jordan Tucker and Nwora. So, you know, it'll be fun to watch the local teams. And then you just see, you know, the top players in the country. And pretty much after Peach Jam and as we go forward in the summer, these guys will be cutting their lists down to five or eight or whatever. So you really kind of get into full swing with the summer. And you also get access to the coaches. So Peach Jam is just a great event. Now, simultaneously or before that, Josh, we had the U-17 championships over in Spain. And we have this new rule now where college coaches can go to any FIBA World Championship event to recruit. So it looked like you had about 20, 30 coaches, schools over there in Spain. I know Kentucky was supposed to go, you know, NC State, Duke, St. John's. You've been following the U-17s. What's your take on that?
So it's pretty much kind of panned out as we all thought it would. So they're through group play. The round of 16 begins tomorrow. You know, the United States smashed their three opponents, you know, wide margin of victory. They're clearly the best team there. But then on the periphery, you have this Canada team with R.J. Barrett and Simi Chitu, both of whom have played very well. Andrew Nembhard is also on that team. So you've got this Canada team kind of lying in the weeds with, you know, the next wave of, you know, big-time stars from that country who are playing American basketball. Now, the round of 16 starts Tuesday. The only time that the United States and Canada would face each other would be the gold medal game on July 3rd. I admit that I've been pumping this up, this Canada-USA thing, because I think it would be really interesting to see these three kids go up against guys like Colin Sexton and Kevin Knox, Emmanuel Quickley, et cetera. So for the rabid basketball fan, you might want to pay attention to the U-17s because that gold medal game could be something really good.
Yeah, we should mention that Simi Chitu is going to transfer out of Mount Verde Academy. His AAU coach, Tony McIntyre, told me today. So that's surprising. You don't see kids leaving Mount Verde too often.
Yeah, that's a big deal, as you just said. I think I was texting you earlier today. You just don't see kids leaving Mount Verde, so curious to see where he ends up. I'll say that.
Josh is working on getting a PhD in the Canadian basketball scene, so you may have a book coming out on that.
I learned from the very best, or at least the mildly competent.
Yes, thank you.
Malik Newman, a Mississippi State transfer, you know, visiting schools, you know, fielding offers. He visits Kansas this week, Adam?
Tomorrow.
Your thoughts on where this might go? I know that Oregon's also in the mix. Yeah.
Yeah, he visited Oregon, so he's now visited NC State, Western Kentucky, and Oregon. He's going to Kansas. Miami is out, I'm told. Kansas, of course, was in it for Derek Thornton, but he chose USC. So I think we all agree Malik Newman is a very talented point guard. He's going to have to sit out a year after being at one point a projected lottery pick in 2016. So we'll just have to see where that goes. But somebody's going to get a really good point guard who's then going to sit a year.
For anybody who loves the mock draft stuff like you and I do, we're looking at this stuff a year and a half, 2 years in advance. This kid was a projected top four pick, and now he's transferring schools. And that's just a warning that the mock draft stuff is not
And pretty soon
science.
We may get a 2018 mock draft out of Jonathan Givony as well. All right, we're done for the day. Remember to check out zagsblog.com for more stories on USA Basketball, Malik Newman, NBA free agency, the Peach Jam. We'll be all over it. Remember to check out all of SNY.TV's original podcasts. Just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network, and please make sure to rate and review the channel. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Adam Zagoria and at Joshua_Newman. Thanks for listening and subscribing. We are out.
This has been the Four Quarters Podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.